Yes, g'day Tiger fans, and thanks for joining us again today on Talking Tigers. Only 9 sleeps now until we take on the Pies at the MCG. We can't wait for that. And I'll tell you what, there is a bit going on in the world at the moment. It's all a little bit sad. So hopefully we can cheer everyone up today with a bit of footy talk and maybe a few lighthearted laughs along the way. As I said, plenty to talk about. We're going to wrap up our state-by-state top 10 Tiger series today with the rest of Australia. Get Back with the Yellow and Black is here. And I'll tell you what, we've got a couple of very interesting emails this week, which I'm sure JB will read out from our loyal listeners. Without any further ado, Greeners, JB, we're nearly there, boys.
Not long now, Matty. And JB, Yes. Not long at all. Very, very good.
Hi, Richo. No, very excited. This time next week, we'll be right in the throes of round two.
Well, Matty might be right in the throes of parenthood again, because not long ago, Matty, what, Jen's got a week, is it?
We're into the final countdown time. Nice.
Very good.
It's the last, about a week to go, but I guess I need to be on high alert now, don't I? Good song today by Queen.
Mm. Now, any song by Queen's good, but why this song, Matty, this week?
Crazy little thing called love. I just think we all need a bit of love, don't we, with what's going on? Yeah, I think everyone needs a little bit of love. So that was, of course, a big hit in 1980 from Queen. Get involved with us. Hashtag Talking Tigers. Talking Tigers at richmondfc.com.au. But, as we said, we're nearly into it. And the boys right back into the swing of training.
Yeah, for sure. I think from, when is it, Thursday onwards, they'll go into their week routine for Thursday night game. So it's come about so quickly. They're getting the training load in and everything is all systems go towards round two. Unfortunately, last week had confirmation that young Noah Cumberland tore his ACL in training, which is, really sad. And we wish him the best in his recovery from that. And aside from Basher, who's touch and go for round two, everyone else is up and running and a clean bill of health.
No, that's great. That's good. And as you say, very, very disappointing for Noah. I mean, you know, first season in the AFL and to do that. So we wish him all the best, obviously. But,
it's really, I feel really sorry for those first year draftees because you're that excited to get to a footy club. And I mean, we'll never see another year like this ever again. No. I mean, the potential is that they don't even get to play a game in the first year.
No, that is the worry. I mean, there might be some practice matches, but then obviously all the conjecture about list sizes moving forward. So it's a lot of that unknown, which adds to a bit of the anxiety, no doubt.
Interesting article in the Herald Sun over the weekend, guys. Yeah. Down Prestia. It was a really interesting read. I really enjoyed it. Found out a few things I didn't really know about last year, probably surrounding his Achilles. What an amazing effort to get through.
Yeah, it was. It was a great article from Dion, really insightful, covering everything from him being drafted through to, playing with Gary Ablett Jr., Dusty, the switch across to Richmond, and last year as well, winning the best and fairest in a premiership winning year. I guess we look back to 2016 at the end of the season and what we were hoping to do with the list and having pick six and, comparing that to Dion now. It's a genius move in hindsight.
No doubt. And as you say, Matt, for him to have to basically get a jab almost every week in that Achilles and to keep playing and then to go on and win the Jack Dyer medal in a premiership year, that is an outstanding achievement. And, it makes you think, a fit Dion Prestia for this season, it's massive.
Yeah, you look at his three seasons, he's probably had a little bit of injury woe in all three seasons at Richmond. So I'm really excited to watch Dion moving forward. And people don't underestimate how hard and mentally tough you've got to be to get through with an injury like that. That wears you out, getting a jab every week and knowing that, you're probably not going to be able to train the way that you want to train says a lot about his mental toughness, Dion, to get through with that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And, his resilience and, I mean, you see it on the way he plays on the field. You know, he's hard two-way running, and he never goes to ground. His balance is outstanding, and he's been a huge pickup. And I think eventually in another year or so, perhaps maybe at the end of the year when I do my top 20 Tiger trade pickups, he's going to figure pretty prominently too, no doubt. But the other interesting part of that article was he was asked who was the better player, Gary Ablett Jr. or Dusty. And
Tough question. Incredibly tough.
But he went for Gary Jr. So it'll be interesting around the training track and club rooms at the moment, what Dusty might think. A few of the other boys might get into him a bit about that.
I don't think Dusty two hoots, will he?
I don't think so. Well, considering they sit next to each other in the locker, I'm sure.
Yes, that's true.
But yeah, well, it hasn't all been smooth sailing for Dion either. If you remember back to 2017 when, you know, we dropped those few games and he was probably a bit underdone. But yeah, ever since then, it's been a great story. And yeah, many more years ahead of Dion at his best.
Yep. Still can't get his father to come over and follow the Tigers. He's a mad Melbourne supporter, his old man. But
still a demon, is he?
Yeah, he's still a demon.
The other thing that has happened since last week's podcast is they had the best and fairest for the AFLW. So Monique Conti, I think, was always going to win that award. But a fantastic recognition for her season. She's a player, isn't she, Monique?
Yeah, absolutely. The only player from Richmond who made the All-Australian squad didn't make the final team, but and speaking on SEN that she did the other day, probably the next thing she's looking towards is adding leadership to her bow. As such a young player coming across from the Bulldogs in her first season at Richmond, I think that's where they're going to be looking for her to step up over the next few AFLW seasons. But I think probably second place, Phoebe Monaghan, her consistency probably got her closer to Mon than was expected. But definitely over the course of the season, Mon was our standout player. And, yeah, a great accolade for her and our inaugural AFLW best and fairest.
Just really enjoyed watching her play. Just her skill level, her speed and her skill level, you know. Enjoyable player to watch, yeah.
She really was a cut above the games that I watched in full. Mm. Outstanding player. Mm. So well done to Mon. Now she'd be in our top 10 big metro AFLW players. But did we get any feedback on last week? Kevin Bartlett, obviously number one. I don't think anyone could argue with that.
No, there was no feedback at all, Richo. Yeah. So I think that means that no arguments.
We got it right.
I think what it highlighted when we went through KB's stats, just what an outstanding flurry was. I mean, that, as we said, 403 games to average nearly 2 goals a game when he spent, you know, 75% of his time as first rover. And when I say first rover, not coming off the ball, right? It's unbelievable.
I'll pass on that he was our number one pick next Sunday when I see him on 3RW Football. Be looking forward to that.
Very good.
Without any further ado, Tone, let's wrap up this series because we'll have footy to talk about next week. So we've gone now with the top 10 for the rest of Australia, Queensland, New South Wales, ACT and the Northern Territory. Take it away, Tone.
Okay, well, coming in at number 10 was a player that played 61 games, kicked 24 goals from 2014 to 2018, and is now at another club. He's obviously at the Gold Coast Suns now. That's Anthony Miles, who was from Howlong and Albury in New South Wales and was a really good competitor for us over that course of the 5 seasons. And just a really industrious player, worked very hard, and, so he comes in at number 10. Right.
Good player, Miles. So you helped to bridge the gap, I reckon, from Dimmer's first few years into the Premiership teams. And really happy he got a good deal and got to another club. Because he actually deserves to play regular senior footy, doesn't he?
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Very good clubman as well, sorry, Tony. Yeah. Never whinged when he didn't get his way and just got on with the job. So
Very good point. Coming at number 9, a former teammate of yours, Maddie, Chris Hyde. From Baruga in New South Wales, Riverina area, 93 games, 39 goals from 2002 to 2008. Was probably predominantly a wingman.
Wing half forward. He had a great step height. He could, Joel Bowden could sell a bit of candy. I know I'm not meant to use American terms, but Heidi could as well. He had a great step and a great book, Chris Heiden. Played 100 games nearly and gone back to Albury. I think he's played in 9 grand finals.
He's a legend back there in local football back into the Albury area.
Won the league BNF, I think, 2 years ago. So, very solid player, Heidi, and remarkable that he was able to achieve what he did because he had the biggest sausage arms I've ever seen, Chris Heiden. He had no definition at all.
And I think we'll be remembered for one of our very rare wins down at Cardinia Park against
Geelong. That's right.
I think he kicked four goals and was, So,
great bloke too, Heidi.
Ripping bloke. Coming at number 8 is Sam Lloyd from Deniliquin in New South Wales. 57 games for the Tigers, 69 goals from 2014 to 18. And as we had said many times on 2-2, just had an incredible, great goal sense. I mean, just one of those players that just kicks goals. I mean, and gave us pretty good service over a fair period of time. Obviously now at the Bulldogs, first season at the Bulldogs was their leading goal kicker.
Yeah, and the thing with natural goal kickers like Sam Lloyd, they are hard to find. And you just knew every week he was going to find the goals, didn't you? And great skill level. If he had been a little bit taller, he's like a full forward, but just didn't have the height. He's one of those natural forwards. Good bloke, got to another good bloke and great clubman, JB, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Probably provided the few highlights during the 2016 season. Yes. He took a very nice mark against Adelaide, and then who would ever forget the goal after the siren against Sydney?
After the siren. Very, very true. Very true. In at number 7, another teammate of yours, former teammate Matty, Ray Hall from Woi Woi. In New South Wales, 99 games, 28 goals from 1999 to 07. He made his debut in the final round of that 99 season when the scoreboard caught on fire at the G. Went on, and he was a very good player in that 2001 final series. I think in that win against Carlton, he was right up there, one of our best.
Yeah, really versatile, Razor, because he sort of played everywhere, didn't he? Played in the ruck, played down back.
Yep.
What a great runner, just a beautiful runner. For his size, big Ray Hall. And like a lot of guys that come from New South Wales, like Chris Hyde, they play a bit of rugby in their youth. He had a great sidestep as well.
Sidestep,
Did you learn playing rugby league? Very intelligent man too, Raymond.
He's got a pretty important job, I think, hasn't he now?
I think he's on the Solomon Islands. He's one of our diplomat over there.
That's right.
And he was in Jordan before that.
Yes, the Middle East, that's right.
And Papua New Guinea.
Yep, no, very true. And a ripping bloke too, Razor. Coming at number 6 was Luke McGuan from Broadbeach on the Gold Coast. 105 games, 39 goals from 2005 to 13. Predominantly a key defender, but did go forward late in his career at Tigerland. And he kicked 20 goals in the 2013 season when we played finals for the first time in a few years. So, pretty versatile player, Luke.
When you looked at Luke, he was very skinny. Mm. Didn't have a lot of weight on, but he was so strong in the gym. Mm. He could bench press as much as anyone. And I think that's why he was able to go out and play on those bigger key forwards because although he didn't have the weight that they had, he certainly had the strength. So, look, he played an important part in Dimmer's early years as well, Tone and JB.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No doubt. All right, coming in at number 5... from the Northern Territory, Richard Tamling, 108 games, 61 goals, 2005 to 2010, and probably unfairly maligned because of where he was picked up in the draft. Had he been picked up later in the draft, you'd say that he's provided the club with pretty good value playing over 100 games. Obviously, a great speed, skill, and he's in at number 5.
I think you've said it all there, Tone. Through no fault of his own was he chosen where he was and ahead of whoever came after him. But a very serviceable player for the Richmond Football Club.
I
felt for him at times with the whole draft nonsense because it just kept coming up, didn't it, over the years? That's got to weigh you down a little bit, absolutely. And I reckon injuries got him a little bit as well, Blingers, and unfortunately... probably didn't get the best out of himself towards the end because of injuries. So, back in the NT now, I think, too.
Yeah, I don't think we should forget the role that he played also in helping us set up the KGI. He played a pretty important role there, too.
That's right.
Yeah. In at number four, from the recruited from the Sydney Swans, Greg Stafford, 74 games, 83 goals from 2002 to 06. Obviously, big ruckman and a very good player when he resting forward. Just a great pair of hands and a very reliable shot for goal.
Yeah, Staff, really good player. Great teammate, Staff, out on the ground. You know, big man, was always there. If there was anything happening with his teammates, big Staff had come over and things would disperse pretty quickly. Don't worry about that. Really good mark, obviously. Good tap ruckman, but accurate kick a goal. When Staff took a mark within 40 metres, you just went, oh, he'll kick this, and he did. Yeah.
Yep, very good. Number three, a current player, dual premiership player, of course, Daniel Rioli from the Melville Island in the Tiwi Islands. 78 games, 71 goals from 2016 to 2017, 2019 premiership player. He won the Cosgrove Jenkins Award as the best first-year player in 2016 and was also voted AFL Goal of the Year in 2017 and very important member of the side. Obviously, speedy, skillful, small forward and has just really lifted in finals. I mean, his finals record is really, really good.
Yeah, it is, Tana. Remember back to the time he was drafted over in Adelaide at the end of 2015, and such a small, shy guy at the time, and really seen him grow into himself over the last few years, and came into the side with Butler and Castagna and really changed sort of the way that we went about it. You know, in 2017, after he did have that first year in 2016, just getting a taste, and his game has grown beyond that. And as you mentioned, his finals record stands up.
Yeah, good, really good point, JB, about him and Butler and Castagna. At the start of 17, when we couldn't find that second, you know, key position player, Todd Elton was tried there for 4 or 5 weeks. It sort of really evolved into what it did around those guys. The part they've played in the last 3 years has been enormous, particularly Daniel and Georgie. Obviously, Butts is gone now, but it cannot be underplayed how important they've been through this time.
And obviously, still very young, so he's got scope for a lot of improvement in his game too. So very exciting.
Pretty obvious top two here.
I would have thought so. Coming in at number two, Joel Bowden from Alice Springs. 265 games, 171 goals from 1996 to 2009, a dual Jack Dyer medalist and a two-time All-Australian and just a great player in a variety of roles that he played at Richmond. He's played defence, wing, forward, on ball. Very good player.
As naturally talented as anyone you'll see, Joel. He made it look easy, and at times I reckon he received criticism because of the way he played, you know, the laconic.
Laconic.
But that is wrong because people look at that and they get the wrong idea at times when people play in a laconic sort of way. Joel was a fierce competitor, and when he played as a key defender, which he did, he was undersized. He didn't get beaten, and he would also get 30 disposals. Now, tell me many players that can do that. Matty Scarlett could do it, but Joel did it regularly and all Australian years down there in the back line. What a versatile player he was, the Bowden. Now he's gone into politics.
Loved an argument, didn't he?
He will love question time, won't he?
Thrive on it.
He's never been wrong once in his life.
Yeah, true. So he's at number two. And of course, no surprise, coming in at number one, the great Morris Rioli from the Melville Island, 118 games, 80 goals from 1982 to 87. Norm Smith medalist in his first year in 1982. A dual Jack Dyer medalist in 82 and then 83. Three-time All-Australian. What a player. Just a freakish player. I know you said last week, Matty, that if you could go back in time, you'd love to see him play.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the AFL website, the last few days, they've had some highlights of Morris up in one of the regular segments they run on there, who's the deadliest. And I think he went up against Andrew McLeod, a little comparison. But, just really enjoyed watching the highlights, Well, there you have it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, there was a game, just to show how he could catch the umpire's eyes, too. There was a game against Hawthorn in 1985, about round six, and at Prince's Park, a really high scoring game. Michael Roach kicked 11 goals.
Yes, yes.
Morris got the three votes. You know, yeah.
That's ridiculous. us forwards, we've been persecuted the whole time, haven't we?
Yeah.
Oh, there you have it. That was good fun, wasn't it?
That was fun. Yeah.
It was. So next week we're going to go for when the season starts, we're going to do our top five, whoever we're playing that particular week, their opposition, we'll do the top five Richmond recruits from that club, our top five. So obviously next week, our top five Collingwood recruits at Tigerland. Yep.
Beautiful. Good idea, Tom. Well, we've got another little idea here that you thought of, and you thought we'd ask each other our favourite ground to watch the Tigers play and our least favourite ground over the years to watch the Tigers play. So it was your idea. Do you start?
All right. Okay. So my favourite ground. Now, I grew up in, and I'm still here. I've come back to the street that I grew up in Moorabbin. Well, it's in Bentley now, as it's called. But so I'm very close to Moorabbin ground. So you'd think, because of the convenience, that would be great. But no, I don't have very many happy memories of going to Moorabbin.
What's the animal enclosure?
I just didn't really like it. My favourite ground, I'll give a couple of honourable mentions. I really like the Junction Oval, and I loved going to Glenferrie because it was so different. But my favourite ground is the Lake Oval. Love the Lake Oval. Wow. I love being, lovely palm trees there. You could watch the game easily. You can walk around from end to end. And we had a pretty good strike rate, the Tigers, a very good strike rate at the Lake Oval. So, and it wasn't that far to get there from, you know, Moorabbin. So really liked that. My least favourite.
Okay.
My least favourite, well, I did. I think I've told the story how I got lost one day at Victoria Park and a policeman was going to walk around the ground. And then Dad found me again. I think he was a bit disappointed that he had found me. I think he deliberately tried to lose me. But no, so as bad as Collingwood was, and I did not like that, Windy Hill took that. Windy Hill, my least favourite ground. We went there one day, went there with the old man. I literally couldn't see. It was chockers, couldn't see. We left the ground, went to the Junction Oval, watched Fitzroy and listened to the Richmond game. Could not stand Windy Hill.
Is that right?
Yeah, could not stand it.
Well, there you go.
You've covered a few there, Tone.
Yes, I did, probably too many.
look, my favourite ground is probably a combo here of Western Australia. I just love going, whether at the Wacker, Subiaco, or most recently the Perth Stadium. Just enjoy the like the process of everyone going over there, as it's just, you know, the 22 and the support staff going up against the 50,000 plus parochial Perth crowd over there. I think the first game we played at the Perth Stadium, or Optus Stadium as it's called, just the atmosphere and the build up to that game, when I think we were 8-1 and maybe West Coast were exactly the same, or 9-0. It was just huge.
And it was, I guess, 1v2, really wasn't it?
It was. Just that, the cauldron atmosphere that was 57,000 plus, most of them West Coast supporters. And the game last year that we had there against Frio, where all the Western Australian boys kicked a goal, and probably one of our best wins of the season going over there. I just enjoy getting across, whether it be any of those three grounds, to watch Richmond play.
Well, it's a great state too. WA is a great state to go to.
Especially, I love the open training that we have there before. You know, this year's going to be very different, but yeah, just seeing all the big supporter base that we do have over in WA, and not just Perth, who travel across the state to get there. It's just great to see. Worst ground, probably don't read into this too much, but there's probably a latecomer wherever we play GWS away lately has been not so fond. Going to be a hard press to get me to go to whether it be Canberra or Sydney Showgrounds lately.
Yes, yeah.
Had the greatest record against them on the road recently, but a bit like you, Tone, just thinking back to when I was a kid, and I know late we had a decent record there, especially the last game against Carlton, but I was never a big fan of heading to Princess Park. I know we had a few wins against Fitzroy there, but against Carlton, I think back to, it was like my birthday weekend in 1994, and we had one game against them that if we had won, I think we would have made the finals, and we got beaten by 110 points plus. Remember sitting behind the goals and just watching each quarter, we were about six goals worse off than they were, and it was a shocker. And then the week later, we had a chance at the same ground against
Geelong. Played Geelong, yeah.
Yep. If we won, again, we'd made the finals. I don't think Gary Ablett played, so I'm like, oh, how good's this? We might have a chance. And I think I mentioned it to you during the week, Tone. Mm. Billy Brownless had eight kicks, kicked eight goals. That was the end of the season.
And I think Matty, you might have had a run in the ruck that day, I think, against Geelong.
I did.
Yes, I thought you did.
Yeah, I remember those games only too well.
Yes.
Mm. No, I didn't bring that up. I must admit, I didn't have a lot of happy memories from Princess Park. We did win that game when Ben Harrison kicked the sealer there.
Yeah,
we did knock Carlton out of the finals there that year with Jeff Fishman in end of 97.
'97,
that's right. Okay, so... the MCG was taken out of the equation.
We couldn't have the G yet.
So clearly that was my favourite ground. I'm a bit with you, JB. I always enjoyed heading over and playing at Subiaco. And we did have some wins there over the years. As a player and as a spectator, I remember Nick Floston's first game over there at Subiaco when he kicked a couple of goals and we had a win that night. I've always enjoyed watching us there.
Was your first game on a wing was there, wasn't it, too?
No. Yeah, oh, it was. Big ground, a long ground. I enjoyed playing up forward there more than anything, Tone, because there was a lot of room between between the 50 and centre-half forward, and it really did suit players who got on their bike up at half forward. And when you had a win over there in Perth, you know, you got the long plane ride home. It's just a great vibe, as you said, JB. Loved playing at Subiaco. Honourable mention to Waverley for the same reasons. Waverley was a huge ground, and I loved playing out there just because of the size of it. My least favourite grounds, and it's on the flip side, the small grounds. As a forward who liked a bit of room to lead into, the SCG, I never...
obvious reasons too, the SCG.
My career was ended there and I did my knee there. And I don't have a lot of memories from that. And this is for the Taswegians that listen. If you've ever been to North Hobart Oval, it is a postage stamp. I didn't like that ground when I was playing down in Tassie. So they're my least favourite.
What was the best ground in Tassie then?
The best ground, Bell Reef, was a big, and it was beautiful because it was the cricket ground, you know. It was the home of the Shield team.
Fair enough.
There you go. There's our. I was going to do Ando and the Herald Sun, Tone, had his top top Richmond team over the last 50 years. Do you want to hold it off to next week? Or?
Yeah, well, we can. I can just quickly go through it.
I'll read it out, eh?
Yeah, go on. You go.
And you tell me if you don't like it.
Go on.
This was Ando's team in the Herald Sun. He's from the last 50 years. So he's gone in the back pocket, Sheedy, Barry Richardson, Dick Clay, Francis Burke, Alex Rance, centre half back, Merv Kane. Across the centre line, Cochin, Reigns and Princess Wood on the other wing. Half forward, Ian Stewart. I'm not sure Stewie played a lot there. Royce Hart and Morris Rioli on the other half forward flank. The full forward line, Waitman, Rewalt and yours truly. In the ruck, Michael Green, Dustin Martin, and, of course, the great Kevin Bartlett. And on the interchange bench, Knights, Roach, Campbell, and Cloak.
Look, I think he did those things are obviously very difficult to do. I think his overalls have done a really good job. I reckon there's a couple of current players that are probably a bit stiff. So he's only got four. He's got four current players, which is good. Three and Ramsey. So Rance, Koch, and Rewalt, and Martin. I reckon Grimesy's probably a little bit unlucky. Grimesy could have got in. I mean, as good a player as Barry Richardson is, you can mount a case that Grimes perhaps could have played back pocket and Dick Clay full back. And probably Shane Edwards is the other unlucky one. I mean, very good career. So maybe Shane Edwards could have got in on the bench perhaps. But overall, he's done a pretty good job, no doubt.
Yeah, I think he has. I mean, as you say, a couple of current day players in there. Ando has seen a lot of footy over the years, so pretty good team. I'd stack that up against any other AFL team. I want you to get onto an email you received, Tone, just on your rant last week. You were filthy.
I was livid.
You were filthy about the rule changes.
Yes.
Guess who's heard you?
Who?
I think Gil's taken note.
Go on.
I was so happy to see Gil say that as of round one, 2021, we'll go back to the normal 20-minute quarters and time on. So
Well, he does listen to the show.
You might have to rant. You need to rant a little more often, Tony.
Well, I've got a few things I wouldn't mind ranting about, but not this week, perhaps. Yeah. Hey, can we just send a quick cheerio to Scotty Turner, turned 50 a couple of days ago. So great Tiger man, Scotty. So very happy 50th, Scotty.
Do you reckon he had a few froths?
I reckon he might have had a few froffies. Definitely.
Yeah, happy birthday to Scotty. Great man, Scotty. All right, mate. So you got an email, Tone, before JB gets on.
Oh, mate. I did get an email.
I got an email. I got an email, and it was hi Tony. You won't remember me. Well, I do remember him, and Matty, you'll remember him too. My name is Tommy. I've got to get this right. Marchink, but I go under the name of Tommy Memphis.
Yes.
I sent you a song called The Tiger Train many years ago. Well, that was actually in 2013. And I think when we'd been beaten by Carlton in that elimination final, and we played that, that got us up a bit. And you guys played it on Talking Tigers, which was a real buzz.
Seven years. Wow. Seven years.
I know. It's unbelievable. I was in Ibiza at the time, but I'm now back on the Gold Coast. I'm still performing as a full-time entertainer, singer-songwriter in the clubs, but have been out of a job since they closed. This has been kind of a blessing because I've got to spend some quality time with my family and also record some new original songs. I wanted to share my new song with you guys. It's about Marlon Pickett. All the proceeds are going to the Alana and Madeline Foundation. I'm going under the name Tommy Chinker with this one and all my original songs. The song is quite long, so I understand if you can't play it, but if you could give it a plug and share it where appropriate, that would be appreciated. Also, well done for keeping the podcast rocking all these years. You guys are the best. Cheers, Tommy. It's fantastic. I've listened to the entire song. It's a ripper, all about Marlon. And I think we've got a little bit perhaps we can go to, haven't we, Matty?
Well, JB, we got 30 seconds, haven't we, JB? 20 seconds?
We sure do.
All right, Pancakes. So here's a little bit of our man, Marlon Pickett.
What a story this is. Number 50. That boy from Balgo was growing up and growing up fast. Trouble in his early years, would he even last? Starting a family and trying to find his way.
What'd you think, JB?
Oh, it's nice. Very nice.
You've got to listen to the whole 6 minutes of it. It's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe when Club News comes back, might have a new sting.
Well, yeah, that's not a bad idea. And the fact that all the proceeds go to the Alana and Madeline Foundation. So well done, Tommy. That's great. Yeah.
Absolutely. Just on the topic of Club News, I'll go to a tweet that we got during the week. This was by... For some reason, the name is How Do You Know Chris? And that's a movie, apparently. But it was a person driving around Melbourne pumping the club news on their stereo. So after that.
Outrageous.
Outrageous.
We did get another tweet in during the week for Francis Cormack, wanting confirmation that actually tweeting in from Talca in Chile. Which is very
Chile.
Close.
Yeah.
I need to know whether Brett Delidio was omitted from the Vic Country top 10 or just didn't make it.
No, he was in it.
I don't think he made the final top 10. That's how deep.
Oh no, he may not have.
Was.
No, he didn't. Yeah, it was a very strong. No, he didn't because it was strong top 10.
Well, he was in my top 10.
He was 11th. He was 11th. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You guys left him out because he was.
Oh, definitely... right. Okay.
Hang on.
Don't go that defense.
No.
Don't put anyone under the bus.
It wasn't me.
We'll go through that top 10 again if you want, and it's a powerful top 10.
All I know was TT's own Vic Country Boys were 0 out of 3.
No, you're right.
So it was Dave Griggy and Lids.
Yeah, I know. It's a powerful top 10. In fact, the Country Tigers would beat any of the other Tigers more. Maybe the Tassie Tigers are pretty good too, but anyway.
Griggy and Dave are in my top 10.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Well, it was a very strong strong week of emails as well as coming to Memphis. We got a couple of good ones. So I'll start with this one's from Kieran McGee. And because he knows Gil listens to us, he's got an idea, a bit like what you mentioned last week, Tone, about how fans can get back into the game. So he's like, hi, Talking Tigers, loving the podcast, and thanks for keeping a connection to football going in these unusual times. He had an idea to solve the problem with the, you know, the mannequins and the cutouts and the canned crowd noise. There is just a slight catch. It's just going to take a bit of remodeling of the MCG and all subsequent grounds where football is going to be played. It's going to run a lottery system for members of each team and set up a bay of Jeeps around the sideline where fans can come in, not congregate with each other, but a family could sit in, you know, the Jeep Grand Cherokee, for instance, around the boundary line, like at the local footy. Ticks off the crowd being there. Ticks off what social isolation.
Great idea.
Sorry, you go, JB.
Night games, they could even have the headlights on after a goal, beeping the horn, yelling out.
You wouldn't need the lights. You could turn the lights off, just have the headlights.
Well, you could remember back in the early 80s behind the goals at the Ponsford End, they actually didn't have any seats. It was like standing room. That's what they need to do. You just bring the Jeeps in.
Yeah, exactly. Great idea.
But don't mind that idea. We just need to, you know, take a few seats out and we're back in business.
Yep. Well, Gil, he'll be listening, so over to him.
Or if not, Brendan might, so he'll be able to pass that on. Got a big update here, boys, from one of our favourite listeners, Clive.
Yes. Oh, not Clive.
He hasn't even addressed us, Richard. No. Straight to Greeners.
Yes.
Hi, Greeners. Clive from Naruma here. This is groundbreaking. Also went to Tucker Road Primary.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You're like two peas in a pod, you and
me. Very much so. So in recognition of, you know, both going to the same primary school and also formally acknowledge the role Greeners has played in the successful marriage proposal, Clive has a proposition for Greeners. It's either a donation to the Alana and Madeline Foundation or, for the same price, an offer to pay for Tone's first month subscription to Silver Singles or any other dating app.
Tone, there you go.
Oh, dear. Wow, that's...
Do you need time to think about it?
I'll tell you by next week. I'll stew over the course of the week. The pros and the cons. All right, I'll give you an answer next week.
All right.
That's very kind of Clive. Very kind of him. Yeah.
No, and thanks for keeping us updated, Clive. And one more.
I'm surprised Clive's got time to email, but anyway.
He always finds time for Talking Tigers, which is good. He's got to get those jokes.
Yep. He's got some ripping gags today for you, Clive. Some ripping gags today. Good.
And the last email we got was from a new listener, a new in time, which is good. Long-time Richmond supporter named Byron. Good day, boys. I'm 23. I grew up in Melbourne, currently living in Canberra to attend university. Been a Richmond supporter my whole life, but only started listening to TT regularly when the coronavirus hit. So now while I'm a loyal supporter of the club, I'm not a certified footy nut like you all. As such, I only know who... one of you actually is.
Oh, well, he must know Richo as well, surely.
Surely.
He must, hey?
Man, that was just set up for you, Greeners.
That was a little lob at the net there for Greeners.
Exactly. So Byron's aware that he could easily look up this information and it would take less time than actually writing the email. But he's too stubborn and lazy. So if new listeners like himself could get a bit of an insight into the other two people on the podcast, he would find that you know, of great value.
All right. Well, I like that idea. So why don't you do this? Each of you now just give, and we might do this over a few weeks, but give us three fun facts about each of you that our listeners don't know. JB, you go first.
Okay. Well, first, a couple of facts are that I don't really like talking about myself, and I always find that fun is up for debate. So what I find fun might not be someone else's. Well, basically, I'd talk about how I got on to this show, because for the early listeners from the start, there was another voice of the great Adrian Setia, AC.
AC, yes.
So he was, you know, one of the original three on the show from, what, 20, whenever it started, up until he left.
2012, I think.
Yeah, 2012, yep.
At the end of 2015. So I think a week before the first show of 2016, there was no other person around who could basically do it. So Sconners came and asked me whether I'd do it, and then I didn't really think about it too much, and here we are. 100+ shows later, still going.
And revolutionised the show, mind you, right from the start. Club News.
Yeah. Byron mightn't have heard much of Club News, but let me tell you, when the season kicks in, I might be a bit toned down this year because of, you know, no crowds and no pre-game entertainment type things, but we'll find a way to get through.
Right, okay. Is that it? Is that your first thing or is that three?
No, that was three.
Okay. Well,
you got
other
Jeff,
one more.
Well, no, just one more. I'll give an insight into my great footballing career. And
yes, I haven't heard this.
It's about Perth as well, over in Subiaco. You'd have to get my former boss from Sydney, Jonathan Manasso, on the phone, because he partook in this. Probably the record for the worst display of kicking of a Sharon in the history of the game.
Is that right?
Just after a training session, we're having a kick, a few shots for goal. I reckon I kicked one goal, 20. I just cannot get the ball to go straight. Can mark it, I just cannot kick it.
Well, that was your mistake, JB. As a staff member, you should never have been on the green staff.
This was after. Don't worry. I think we held up the bus waiting for me to kick a goal. Just cannot kick the
ball. Unbelievable.
I know how you feel, mate. It's all
good. You do. You do indeed. Well, unlike JB, I do like talking about myself, but I'll keep this pretty brief. Just schooling, obviously, we know that I went to Tucker Road Primary with Clive. Well, Clive's a little bit, might have been a few years ahead of me, but I went to Essex Heights Primary School in Mount Waverley before then, had 1 year. Before then, we moved down to Moorabbin, what's now Bentley, and I went to Bentley High School. It's my schooling. Work-wise, I did a two-year cadetship at the Sporting Globe covering horse racing details. Did all the charts, the racing charts and everything. I then went to Inside Football, was there for about 20-odd years or so. And
Where you started many careers.
Eddie McGuire and
Andrew Marr.
Dr. Frankenstein, they call me because I've created a monster there. Anyway, and then and I've been at Richmond since 2000. And I have two daughters, Emily, who's 24, and Laura, who's 22.
Oh, there you go. All right. I'll tell you what, we know a fair bit about this bloke, don't we?
Oh.
All right, boys. Oh, well, I know last week, Tone, I told you that there was an update where Chief wants to become a bit like Bones Richardson. I'm going to have to put that off again for another week because I can't keep up. There was a quiz in the Herald Sun over the weekend, JB. I know you love doing the quiz.
I was doing this one.
Yeah. So question 7 of 50 in the Herald Sun quiz over the weekend said, name two great Australian sportsmen who answer to the Chief. Okay.
Now,
Brendan was doing this quiz as well with a few of the crew around the footy club. And the two options that were available were, of course, Jason Dunstall, the Chief. Rugby league fans would know of the Chief, Paul Harrigan. That was one of the options. The other option was Jason Dunstall and Nathan Buckley. Well, clearly, Nathan Buckley is not the Chief, but this has alerted Brendan. He is absolutely filthy that the Herald Sun, a Melbourne newspaper, would go with Chief Harrigan in front of him. He is disgraced by this.
Well, when he has his own segment on this show, Chief Watch.
Yes. So he believes he is filthy, and I think he's rung the Herald Sun and spoke to Peter Blunden there, the Chief Herald Sun editor down there.
Big Richmond man.
He has put Peter on note that Richmond provides a lot of pages for the Herald Sun, and that if this is not corrected, then we may boycott the Herald Sun as a club. So he's not happy.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, if you're on Instagram, Tone, you might have noticed that...
Well, I'm not. I'm not.
You're not.
You might have noticed that a lot of things have opened up this week. Pubs are back. You know, gyms are going to reopen, cafes, restaurants. And one thing that's opened up that the Chief really liked was the fact that the Brighton Baths have reopened.
Yes, you know
that he's one of the icebergers down there now that goes and jumps in the water. Now, that's all well and good.
Iceberg, Greenberg, it's all the same.
So mate, he's happy, like everyone, that the baths have reopened. So he was down there on the dot at about 5:30 a.m. on Monday morning. Okay, and he jumped in with the rest of the boys in the water. Then they went in and they have their saunas and whatnot. But what Chief shouldn't have done is he's decided to put up an Instagram post, you know, just letting everyone know that the baths are open. So go get on to his Instagram and you'll notice that the Chief's put up a photo, you know, saying how good it is to be back. But the big mistake that he's made here is that he's got the dad bod out again, boys. He's
got the dad bod out again.
Remember earlier this year I pulled him up for getting the dad bod out in the gym?
Yeah.
Well, he's got it out again. And let me tell you, it's been a nice little period of isolation for the Chief's dad.
And don't tell me he had Speedos on.
He did. He had Speedos on.
No.
And let me tell you, it was very icy down there on Monday morning. So, Chief, put the dad bod away and spare him. Wear some footy shorts. We don't need to see you in Speedos, big fella.
That's terrible. I hate garlic too. I hate garlic. I'm just letting Byron know a few more things. I hate garlic.
Get into the yellow and blackers.
What about club news?
No, it's club news.
You sure there's none?
I don't think so. Okay. Unless you've
got some. No. I am fascinated by time travel too. All right, I'm just letting you know a few other things. All right, so get back. So, you know, there's a lot of speculation, well, a lot of talk. Will this year's premiership have an asterisk next to it? How the season is really compromised, right? Well, you want to talk about a season that was compromised and had an asterisk next to it. You go back to 1924 season, okay? So then that premiership that season was determined by a round robin final system. So Essendon won the premiership that year, right, despite being beaten by Richmond in the last game. So we were runner up. I actually want the Chief to take this up with the AFL.
We should
get an extra premiership and one docked off Essendon, right?
Just clarify that again, Tone.
So it was a round robin final system. So there actually had been one in 1897, the first year of the VFL. There was a round robin. Didn't work, so they scrapped it. For some reason, they reintroduced it for the 1924 season. Okay, so the four finalists played this round robin system. So what happened was that we beat Essendon in the last round robin match, 9-13-67 to 6-11-47. Right. But we needed to win by at least 43 points to then force Essendon to challenge them to a grand final the following week. And we didn't win by enough. But it is the only time in VFL, AFL history that the Premiers lost the last match of the season. The only time. Yeah. So many of the Essendon players in the rooms afterwards were really unhappy with their poor performance of some of their teammates. There were heated arguments and fist fights in the rooms after the match. And then following at a function that evening, it was related to accusations of match fixing and receiving bribes as well. Yeah.
That seems extraordinary to me that could happen.
It's just amazing.
Like you'd think you could come up with a better system than that, surely.
Well, we beat South Melbourne in the first round robin playoff, and then we lost to Fitzroy, and obviously then went on and beat Essendon. So the Argus football reporter at the time, by the name of Old Boy, and this is what he had to say. Old Boy, I know it's a beauty.
What?
Old boy from the Argus. The premiership competition of the Victorian Football League came to an end on Saturday when Essendon, though beaten by Richmond, were returned premiers on percentages. It was an inglorious ending to an unsatisfactory season, and it is safe to say that the plan of deciding the premiership adopted this year will be discarded as it was more than 25 years ago. The whole idea of semi-final matches was to work up to a climax, but this scheme was so ill-designed that it ended in the ridiculous position of a premier team being beaten in its last game by the runners-up. Well, there
that's
you go.
It's an absolute failure.
So we should have
13 premierships.
Well, we should. We should get that one. And it's up to the chief and Gil, if Gil will be listening, see what we can do to make it number 13. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I had a tortoise too that ran away from home once. Can you believe that? A tortoise ran away. Yeah.
You idiot.
I did. Yeah.
All right, Clive, get your pad and pen out.
All right. Okay. So a mate's wife was really mad at him because he had no sense of direction, right?
Yeah.
So he packed up his belongings and right.
Yeah.
How does a penguin?
That's good.
How does a penguin build its house?
I don't know.
He glues it together. Oh. He glues.
Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah. Did you know the first French fries weren't actually cooked in France?
Oh, right. Where?
No, they were cooked in Greece.
I admire you. I really do.
Good. So does Clive. Right, and the future Mrs. Clive. I went to the local supermarket the other day, right, and I bought some milk. And the bloke behind the counter said, "Would you like the milk in a bag?" And I said, "No, thanks. Just leave it in the carton, thanks."
Clive's lifted your energy level.
He has. I've gone to another level. I really have. I'm just thinking of the silver singles. I'm not sure. Anyway. Okay. What type of music do chiropractors like?
What?
Hip hop.
Oh, no.
That's horrible.
All right.
One more?
Two more. I was going to tell a time-travelling joke to you blokes, but you blokes wouldn't like it. Well, you didn't like it. Sorry.
Yeah, we didn't.
Sorry, you blokes didn't like it. Sorry.
Oh, you stuffed that.
Oh, I did stuff it up.
Should we try that?
See, I got carried away. We'll do it again. Tell him to wipe it. I was going to tell you a time-telling joke, but you blokes didn't like it. I know a lot of jokes about retired people too, but none of them work. And what do you call two octopuses that look the same?
What?
Identical.
Oh, there you go, Tone. Very, very good.
Hey, we didn't mention the revolution that's happened to our run sheet here, Tone.
Unbelievably revolutionary.
To the listeners that can't see, which is...
Yep.
Well, I do a run sheet every week.
Yep.
And Richo sent through, what, four or five different versions? And the last version had red text on it.
Two different types of red.
Different
colours. It was revolutionary.
Did you know that on Word you could get different coloured ink and stuff on there? Did you know that? Didn't you know that?
Oh, outstanding, mate. I might
try a bit of yellow and green.
Try another colour next week. Yep.
Very good. All right. Well, as we go out here, a little bit of Queen or maybe even a little bit of Tommy's new Marlon Pickett song. Thanks, everyone, again for joining us, particularly over the period of isolation with no footy. But next week it's back. Richmond and Collingwood will finally have a game to talk about. We can't wait for that. JB, good to see you. Greeners, you go and have a think about whether you want to donate money or get on the website.
I do, and I love old red phone boxes too, for buying stuff.
There you go. Very good. That's been Talking Tigers, and we will be back for round two next week. Thanks, everyone.